Yes, sir. All right. Welcome to the Patriots podcast. My name's Sean. He's JJ.
Hello.
All right. We are wrapping up preseason game three against the Lions, the biggest preseason game, the dress rehearsal for the regular season.
Mm-hmm.
And right off the bat, we might as well just dig right into it. Julian Edelman, torn ACL. See you next year.
Out for the season.
Out for the year. That's a bummer.
It's a big one.
Yeah.
It's tough.
Every time something like this happens, it's the same old conversation. Preseason, why are they on the field? What are you doing? Clearly, they see some benefit in it, the fact that they put Gronk out there and Brady's out there. We know, obviously, that it's helping somehow. You're not going to just cancel preseason going forward. This is just going to happen. Could have happened in practice.
Especially that type of injury. For anyone who's been watching football for a long time, that was just one of those ticking time bombs. Was going to happen injury. It didn't matter whether it was on the practice field, preseason, regular game. Probably would have been the first game. I mean, that was a simple cut upfield to the cutting left on, you know, and done. Boom.
Yeah.
No contact. It wasn't like it was the preseason game that did it to him or you got a big hit or anything. No, there was clearly an issue. And as soon as he cut, it snapped. It was the same, identical to Wes Welker in the Houston playoff game in 2009. I was going to say that, but I didn't think that was right.
2009, yeah. It was the last game of the regular season, but I know. I love how people keep saying this to me. They're like, is there a curse on slot receivers in New England and their ACLs? And I'm like, that happened like 8 years ago.
Well, maybe if you had any brains, you would realize that maybe those guys are cutting ridiculously hard, and that just ain't good for your knees.
Maybe.
It was the same cut.
I don't know. They're just trying to draw a parallel between what happened 8 years ago and now. It's happened twice.
Well, it was a similar tear, but it just shows you those guys, I mean, they're making severe cuts. I mean, Julian Edelman cuts on a dime for a reason. That's what makes him so good.
Yeah, so your ligaments. Lewis, we saw what happened there.
Yeah, your ligaments don't necessarily like that. These guys with really fast, twitch quickness or whatever you want to call it, it's not good for their ligaments aren't made for that type of shit over and over and over again.
Yeah, I don't know the exact cause of what happened. Maybe it's a muscle imbalance. Yeah, neither do you. You don't know either.
Hey, man, clearly Danny Amendola. Yeah, wait.
I don't think he's ever had that injury, has he?
Well, no, he hasn't been on the field enough.
He had a lot of injuries before he came to the Patriots.
He gets beat up before that he even gets there.
Danny, don't touch my head in Amendola. Yeah.
So
Jules is out. And
Jules is out for the season.
He's out for the year. And that's obviously terrible. I was already forecasting a decreased workload. I didn't know that was getting decreased to zero.
Yeah.
But last time we saw the Patriots play without Edelman for an extended period of time was when he broke his foot. And that was 2015.
Yeah.
And there was a noticeable, it coincided with a ton of injuries on the offensive line. And Cameron Fleming was playing left tackle. Marcus Cannon was still bad when he was playing right tackle. I couldn't even. Josh Klein was starting at guard. I mean, there were a ton of offensive line issues, but also losing Edelman and our offense just went in the tank for the second half of that season. Remember, we started 10-0 and we were like unbeatable. And then he broke his foot against the Giants. And then,
but they didn't really have, like, 3-3. LaFell was having a bad year.
Yeah.
You know, we didn't have the weapons either that we have this year. Not even close.
Right. But I'm saying that losing him has a large impact.
Oh, it's huge.
Better situated this year to be able to account for that and
sure.
Still be very effective. But it's not a small loss.
Oh, it's huge. I mean, where I work, they replay some Patriots games, some of the big ones. And in the last few days I saw, you think about the Baltimore game, in the 2014 season, the Baltimore game and the Baltimore AFC Championship game and the Super Bowl. I mean, every big offensive play had something to do with Edelman or several of the big ones. He had the double toss. He was open in the Baltimore game, the double toss. Brady hit him, I don't know how many times, but easily the most targeted receiver. Then you think of that Super Bowl. He had the game-winning Super Bowl catch. You know, he tied the score, took the lead or whatever it was at the time. You think about this past Super Bowl, all the fucking catches he made that ridiculous grab and all that stuff. I mean, the big plays have run through this guy. And whether production or whatever you want to say is the biggest deal of it, it's also he always made the big plays in the biggest games. So you're losing that. And that's what kind of scares me the most. The production and 1,000 yards and touchdowns and all that shit, whatever. But when we get to those big games, who's Brady always look for? It's Jules. And Jules always makes the play.
In big situations.
In big situations.
Yeah. So I mean, you mentioned those big plays, but that doesn't even take into account all the third downs that he converts.
Right.
By breaking a tackle or catching a ball in traffic or just flat out beating man coverage. And then you also lose what he does. I mean, he gets end arounds every single game. Every game he's getting a handoff. He gets wide receiver screens. Are you going to do those to Amendola all the time? No, you're not, because you don't want him to take that punishment.
No.
You can with Brandon Cooks. See, that's the thing, is Brandon Cooks is going to fill a lot of these roles.
Yeah. It's just unfortunate you wanted to see the two of them.
The two of
them. How dynamic the two of them would have been.
I know. And then what Brady said this, actually, he was like, it's losing the trust that is the biggest deal.
Right.
And I feel like that's true. And that's, he's not just blowing smoke. Like, when they go over the stats of Julian Edelman, they're like, oh, his percent, his like reception percentage versus targets, like how many catches he gets versus how many targets he gets, is terrible. It's really bad. And that's because Brady throws the ball away at Julian.
Constantly.
All the time. All the time.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
He doesn't throw it out of bounds nearly as often as he just throws it at Jules' feet. Because he trusts him.
He knows that it's going to be an incompletion if he wants it to be.
Yeah, and that's gone now. And so who does that become? It doesn't become Gronk. A lot of people would say it's Gronk. Gronk's getting double-teamed. He's running in the middle of the field. He's not the kind of guy that's going to be able to break. Like, if he's running a vertical route, stop, come back, fight off two other guys just to swat the ball to the ground. That's not his role.
No.
So it's going to have to be
Hogan or Cooks?
Yeah, I was thinking James White.
Maybe James White. Maybe.
But yeah, that it's a big loss. And what it might mean is more sacks.
Mm-hmm.
It very well might mean more hits for Brady.
I mean, Cooks, in that preseason game, we really didn't see, they didn't open Cooks up at all. They
talking about the game against the Lions?
The game against the Lions, third preseason game. They didn't even throw, like, they threw to him once. They really didn't go anything. So, to me, maybe it's a thing where, you know, they don't want to show him off yet, kind of like Randy when we got him. They really didn't show him in the preseason. They let him get out there for like a play or two. They didn't do anything with him. And then, boom, right in first game, this guy scored 3 touchdowns. And I'm not going to say Cooks has that type of impact.
That's a nice way to look at it optimistically. But what if it just means that he's having the same struggles as Dwayne Allen picking up the playbook?
Because everything I've read kind of is against that. They said he works really hard. He's really smart. They've really emphasized how smart he is, which you would think, you know, relates to playbook. And then just how he's been lighting everybody up at camp.
Yeah, maybe.
You know, I mean, you've heard those.
I know. Yeah. It's just, it is weird that they're basically keeping him in bubble wrap for preseason.
Well, why not? Bill loves doing that type of shit.
Well, they didn't do that with Julian.
Yeah, because everyone knows what Julian is at this point. It's not like it's his new toy.
Okay. Yeah, but, that might be the case with Brandon Cooks.
The one thing that is, you know, you can look at, okay, we lost Julian. How big of a deal is it? It's definitely a huge deal, like we said, the big games, but it luckily happens to be our most stocked position at this time.
Yeah.
Arguably.
It probably is.
You got Hogan, who lit it up in preseason. You got...
Might be cornerback.
Maybe cornerback,
yeah,
maybe
receiver.
Definitely offensive position-wise. You got Cooks. You've got Amendola. You've got Mitchell. So you got a good 4 guys right there without Julian. And then, hey, maybe it makes room for one of these other younger guys, Lucien, Carr. Plus, I mean, you got Gronk. You have your stable of receivers who are all primarily receiving backs.
Talk about running backs that are receiving backs. Yeah.
So as big of a blow it is, I mean, this offense is still going to chug along as long as there's no other major injuries.
All right, let's put it this way. Who is a bigger deal to lose for the season besides Edelman? There's obviously Brady.
Mm-hmm.
There's an argument to be made on Gronk.
There's an argument to be made on one of our tackles.
Okay, let's go with Solder at left tackle as the
maybe
more
Cooks.
Important position. Cooks, okay.
Cooks. I mean, that's really it. Why, who'd you say?
So you're talking about losing probably a top 3 player on offense.
Yeah.
Yikes. It's a big deal. And then defensively, I mean, would you rather lose Edelman or Hightower?
Edelman.
Yeah, I think so too.
Well, I mean, that's just circumstantial.
What do you mean?
Meaning, if we had a plethora of DNs and linebackers right now, I would say.
No, but I'm talking about right now. Because if you asked me two years ago, I would say Hightower in a heartbeat.
Right. As of right now.
As of right now. I'd rather lose Edelman, too.
I sadly would. I mean, that's a tough question, but yeah.
Well, what do you... We're dealing with losing a quality player for a year. It's going to be tough.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd rather have High on the team at this point.
It's a big blow. Plus, emotionally, he's such a spark plug. And he
really is, yeah. Everything goes through him. It's tough.
There's really not that much competitive emotion, and I mean this in a, aggressive against the opponent type way. Like, remember Logan Mankins? Logan Mankins would go headbutt. He'd be the first guy in the pile.
Mm-hmm.
He would do whatever he had to do to defend his teammates and, like, you know, be aggressive. Edelman's the same way, shit talker. He's always hitting people.
Mm-hmm.
And then now what? I mean, is it David Andrews? Like, who the hell is it? It's not true. Shoulder.
Who's the aggressor?
Yeah, who's that guy?
It's not Gronk.
Nope.
Maybe Hogan.
It's not Hogan. Get the hell out of here.
You don't know. Maybe.
No.
We haven't seen it come out yet.
Yeah, maybe. Those crazy eyes. He's hiding
something. He looks like a psycho.
He does.
He looks like a nutcase.
I feel like it could be Tooney or David Andrews. That's who I can
maybe
see.
Maybe Tooney. Andrews, was getting in people's faces last week, but he looks like, too, that beard is just not intimidating. It's just so gross.
Well, it's covering a baby face. He doesn't really have options.
Yeah.
And he's wearing a helmet the whole time. Can't tell that much. I guess we just talk about other shit, even though this is by far the biggest story of the preseason.
That's the biggest story. It is unfortunate. Well, there's another big one.
What?
Coney Ealy being released.
Coney Ealy gets cut. Yeah. People are making this out. I was reading...
Paired with the news that Derek Rivers has a torn ACL.
Well, that was weeks ago.
Yeah, well, I guess I didn't realize it was a torn ACL.
Oh, yeah, he's done. See ya.
So, the end is now, under a microscope of what the fuck do we do?
Yeah, defensive end is a big-ass question mark. An upside-down question mark, because it's in Spanish. We don't really have a lot of answers to that position right now. Dietrich Wise is back at practice after that head injury in the first game. That's something.
Yeah, but fucking concussions, man, especially to a rookie, it's not historically good news.
I never said it was good news, but he's back at practice.
He is back at practice, but I mean, what are we going to rely on that?
Yeah.
Sadly.
Who the hell else is on the roster besides Trey Flowers? No one.
No one. I saw today that they were working Hightower at the end.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to have to flex out there sometimes.
Mm-hmm. So it might be just hit between him, Van Noy, and McClellan. If McClellan gets healthy, they're going to fill in, plus Wise or one of the other guy, younger guys.
Right.
There is the free agent market.
I just saw some stats. There's going to be more than 1,000 people cut on September 2nd. Well, you know, between now and September 2nd.
So there's going to be a lot. There's definitely someone's going to get cut that we could scoop.
Yeah.
Potentially. Also,
but we also just cut somebody that was claimed by 7 teams. Did you see that?
Yeah, I did.
Coney Ealy
yeah.
got claimed by 7 different teams on waivers.
We tried to trade him, and we couldn't get shit.
Yeah, because there's no leverage. You go, hey, we're going to cut him unless you want to trade for him. And they're like, we'll give you nothing.
Well, there is also Mario Williams and Jared Odrick on the free agent market as of now.
Jared Odrick is still out there?
I don't know why. Yeah, he's out there.
He was a joke on Miami. I mean, on, Miami.
Jacksonville.
No, he was drafted by Jacksonville, right?
I thought it was reverse.
Oh, yeah. God dang, those Florida teams. So confusing.
Was he that bad last year?
He was real bad after he signed that contract.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, they're probably going to have to bring in somebody because you can't just go into the season with like 2-3 defensive ends.
Yeah, it's like one of the most important positions in the field.
And I guess it just depends how you qualify some of the, or how you plan to use some of the guys. Like that Butler kid, he's like 300 pounds, but if you want to play him at a defensive end position on early downs, maybe you feel like he qualifies as an edge guy. Who knows?
They could go to that 3-3-3-4 look.
Yeah, that's easy.
So they'd have to do. Because what's his name's a big old fatty. We were wondering about, what's his name from the Ravens?
Lawrence Guy.
Guy. We were wondering what position is he? He's a D-tackle. Did you see him?
Yeah, he's a big boy.
He is a big motherfucker.
He looks pretty good, though. He looks like he's got some push on the interior.
Oh, no, he's a good player, don't get me wrong, but he is more of a D-tackle stature than a D-end.
Yeah, certainly.
By any means. But so, I mean, between You've got our three D tackles from last year, plus Guy. If that guy Butler makes a roster, now you got five for a solid rotation between three positions. And Trey could kind of fill into one of those positions as well a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's not the worst situation, but it is by far the glaring weakness on this team right now.
Yeah.
I saw some people saying, they were like, the Coney Ealy trade did not work out for the Patriots. And once again, they'll get off the hook. Or it was something like people won't blame them. They won't say they screwed up.
Didn't we change like 10 draft positions?
Yeah, 8.
Yeah,
they traded a second rounder for Coney Ealy. It's like, and a third rounder.
Right below the second rounder.
Yeah, they moved from 64 to 72. They gave up, I think it's the equivalent of a late fifth round pick. If we drafted a guy in the fifth round and he doesn't make the team,
nobody
cares.
What
do you do? Yeah. Nobody cares. That is not a story whatsoever.
Nope.
But, oh, we shifted that value to try to pick up a veteran who was going into a contract year who maybe could tap into some of the potential he showed a couple of years ago. And
he didn't.
Oh, that it didn't work out. So didn't. What?
And the good thing is, too, is knowing Bill Belichick is that he didn't try and stretch it out. He saw it didn't work, and he released him. He didn't wait. He didn't have to release him yet. He was like, you know what? He's worked hard for us. He deserves another chance, another football team, and we'll give him that. And they released him. Gone.
Yeah,
that was
pretty nice.
It was nice of him, and it was a smart football decision. How many GMs don't have – well, because Belichick obviously has all the security and the job security in the world, so he doesn't have to worry about any of that shit. But he was just like, yeah, it's not working out. We're going to get rid of him. That's it.
Yeah, he's done that before where he releases a guy a couple weeks early or like a week early.
Mm-hmm.
And just gives him a shot to start over.
Yeah.
Before final cuts. Did anything else stick out to you in that game? I mean, it was pretty fun to watch at the beginning. Besides Edelman getting injured,
yeah,
they jumped out to like 24-0 lead.
Yeah, the offense kind of is chugging along.
It was clicking. Hogan looked good,
especially a Detroit defense that was supposedly excited about how much talent they had and how good they were supposed to be. Now Ziggy Ansah wasn't playing while Nate Solder wasn't playing. So yeah, so without Ansah playing. It is whatever, but in Solder, not there. But, I mean, basically, they're supposed to be a good defense. In our offense, 24 points in the first quarter is insane. Whether it's a preseason game or not, that's pretty impressive. So this offense is still chugging along or looks like it's going to be, just fine. Going forward for most of the regular season once Solder gets in there. Gillislee, all the running backs, I was quite impressed.
Yeah, was that our first time seeing Gillislee? I think it was.
Yes.
Right?
Yep.
Yeah, he looked pretty good. He looks powerful.
Powerful.
Seems like what we want.
Fast.
Yeah, that one run where he broke to the second level, and I was like, oh dang, he's got some burst to him.
Yeah. Is it what we were looking for? I can't say, after that if he's going to be some incredible running back, but he's definitely going to be solid. Especially for what they're going to ask him to do. He looked bigger than I expected, too.
Yeah, I think we had heard that he's like 215, but maybe he's like 220. Mm. I don't know. He's not a small back.
No, he's a bigger dude.
He definitely stands out from the rest of our running back core.
He looks pretty good. Offensive line, especially for the first quarter, did well.
Mm-hmm.
James White, Deion Lewis, I thought they both played well.
I feel like Deion Lewis is on display. He's getting a lot of looks.
He is. Getting a lot of looks.
I just wonder why that's the case. And then I see DJ Foster get the workload he's getting, and I know they want him to separate himself or to establish himself, rather.
Mm.
He looks good. He's so versatile, DJ Foster is. This is a guy that played wide receiver in college. I mean, could he possibly fill part of the Edelman role? Maybe. I don't know.
Maybe. Yeah.
But he's getting an extended look at a... I mean, he is buried underneath some really deep running back position, and then what was a very deep wide receiver position.
Right.
And now you're looking at there, especially since Malcolm Mitchell hasn't been on the field yet. He can't seem to shake this knee thing.
Mm.
They're definitely going to carry a receiver that they wouldn't have before Edelman's injury.
Yeah.
And they might actually carry two guys.
Maybe.
Two guys in that maybe it's DJ Foster and an Austin Carr type guy, or maybe. Mm-hmm. It's like Austin Carr and Devin Lucien.
Yep.
Or maybe it's Lucien and Foster and Carr. Who the heck knows? Because they just cut Matt Langle, too.
They did. Well, Shaughnessy, was it O'Shaughnessy or Shaughnessy?
O'Shaughnessy.
He looked all right. Right.
I mean, they traded for him. They gave up a pick for him.
He looked okay. And then that other kid, the rookie, the twin.
The Hollister.
He looks pretty good.
Yeah.
For what he is.
We saw him crush it in game one.
Yeah.
He's going to get a real long look this week on Thursday.
Yeah, absolutely. So that'll be interesting.
A lot of things up in the air.
Yeah. So offensively, yeah, it's, I mean, those last couple spots, the injury to Edelman, as much as you hate to say it, it definitely opened up some opportunities from other guys that wouldn't have made the team.
It almost spices up this final cut.
It does, because now they have to think a little bit harder about it, because, I mean, that position was locked, you know. Now it's all, do we go another running back? Do we go another receiver? Do we go both? You know, because they might have had a position for one already. So so that's definitely interesting. What else did I see?
The stuff that stuck out to me on offense were the Chris Hogan's touchdown catch, his second one.
That was unbelievable. That was a great catch.
Yeah, they were just playing cover three, or they might have just been playing single high safety in the middle. And Hogan went vertical on the left, and Cooks went vertical on the right, and Cooks was more open than Hogan was.
Exactly.
And Brady throws it to Hogan. Hogan makes an incredible play of positioning himself in front of the defender. And like, I was listening, and Christian Fourier goes, "Great catch, even better throw." No, not true. Way better catch. It was a good throw. It was right. It was pretty much right where it needed to be. But it
was
not
a great
in stride.
Catch. Yeah, it was a great catch.
He slowed down to body the guy behind him and then fought through
the guy in front of him.
Well, yeah, they were like slapping at his hands and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
He still wrapped it up. It was a great catch.
Which also goes to my point of Cooks.
What? Oh, that he opens things up for others?
No, that he was wide open and Brady didn't even look at him.
Yeah, that goes to my point about Cooks, that he doesn't have the trust yet.
Oh, no, I'm saying it's because they don't want to show it off yet.
Oh, maybe. Yeah, possibly. Cooks is more open. He should have gotten the ball. And if you look at the play, Cooks is jumping up and down. He's like, "God damn it. I just toasted this guy."
I'm telling you.
But the two of them together, that's a weapon. And you
Oh, it's ridiculous. You have between the two of them and Gronk.
Yeah, and then you add Gronk.
And
we saw
Gronk. That was pretty surprising.
There was one play Gronk
in of itself.
One play Gronk, well, that was his second game this preseason.
I know.
There was this one play where Gronk did a chip block before going out into a pattern, and he pancaked the guy on the chip block. It's like, you're not supposed to be that good.
Yeah.
Where you could pancake a guy in your chip block and still make your pattern.
Yeah.
And I mean, I don't remember the rest of the play, but he was probably in a pretty good threatening position for the defense where they got to pay attention to him.
He probably was.
He pancakes a guy and then gets double coverage, probably.
Yeah,
that's
crazy.
You're not
takes
to
three
do
people out of one play.
Yeah,
three, and we've said it before. The three of them, those are like three of the best deep threats in the league right now with Brady as the quarterback. That's crazy,
without a doubt. Well, Brandon Cooks hasn't really been a deep threat. At least if you go by yards per catch average.
Yeah,
maybe he just catches too many balls. That could be it.
That's probably what it was.
He's been like an 80 or 90 catch guy for 1,100 yards,
mm-hmm.
which is, it's not that high an average. When you're talking about Chris Hogan, who reeled in 18 yards a catch last year.
Yeah, true.
But so statistically, maybe he isn't, but he is by far the fastest guy on this offense.
Mm-hmm. Ridiculous.
And everybody knows what Gronk, the threat that he presents in the seam. I mean, the Steelers have had a half a decade nightmare trying to cover him in the seam.
Trying to figure it out.
Yeah. can't figure it out.
Can't figure it out for the life of him.
And then you lose Edelman, but you still got those three guys. You got the running backs.
You got Dola.
Do you see that the Patriots' likelihood of winning the Super Bowl, according to Vegas, went from like 33% to 32% when Edelman got hurt?
Really?
And my reaction to that was, what? It's 32%?
Yeah,
think
right.
It's a 1 in 3 chance
that we win the Super Bowl. It's
1 in 3.
Yes.
I've never even heard of anything like that at
it's
any
insane.
Level of any sport. Wow. I guess the Warriors. The Warriors must be at least that.
I don't know.
The Warriors got to be like an 80% chance.
I don't know, man.
Well,
for football, that's insane.
It's a pretty strong favorite.
For a 16 game season.
Let's talk about defense here, real quick.
Yeah.
What stuck out to me on defense was Jordan Richards got the start. And he wasn't
playing a safety role. He was playing linebacker. He's playing in the box.
Yeah, he was okay.
I don't know what to think about him.
He only did stiff. Okay. He looks really stiff. He missed a bunch of tackles. I don't think he makes a team.
Maybe, but he definitely got the look he needed.
Chung,
he got an opportunity. He got a big time opportunity.
Chung was in the same position a little bit later. They must have been rotating or something, and he laid somebody out.
Chung's special. Chung's a good
Chung
guy.
Is a hell of a player. I remember you saying he might be a surprise
I
cut.
Still
I will
think
be
he might be a cut.
Devastated if I he's still... a surprise cut. He's too good. He was nasty out there.
He's very good.
And he didn't do good. Anything. Like he was like there was nothing to do, and he was still one of the better players.
But they might look at him and be like $7 million cap hit. He's an older player. We've already got two very capable safeties.
I don't know, man. Him and 40 plus the cornerbacks we have, that's like the best secondary in the league.
Well, if it's not him, who's the cut? We already had Coney Ealy. Who is it? If it's not him.
Does there need to be a surprise one at that point?
No, there doesn't. There doesn't. But I'm throwing it out there that's a strong possibility. It's a possibility.
I don't think so. Not anymore.
Okay.
You lost Edelman. You lost Ealy. Those were two locks. Not anymore.
Mm-hmm. So Richard's got the start. Malcolm
Stephon Gilmore. I liked how he played.
Me too. He hits. He covers.
He covers. He was running around. He was knocking people down.
I did not know he hit like that.
Yeah, he's a big dude. He looked well. Malcolm Butler didn't look well. It hasn't looked good the last 2 weeks.
No, he hasn't looked that great.
Yeah, that's true. I'm not worried about it. It's just, you know, kind of surprising. It's like, well, why isn't Malcolm kicking ass right now?
Yeah, I feel like he should be crushing it. Maybe he's pressing. Maybe he's, like, trying too hard. I don't know.
I think he'll be okay, though. He didn't look great, but I think he'll be all right. Trying to think who else. Harvey Lange is getting a lot of time.
Longy.
I think he makes the team.
Oh, he's definitely going to make the team. There's nobody else on the edge. I know he's not a true edge guy, but he's enough of an edge guy in the same way Van Noy is, that they're not going anywhere. Yeah. Why did I have to compare those two BYU guys?
Maybe.
Had to do that.
Van Noy looked okay. I was expecting a little more from him, but he was all right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just preseason, so these guys aren't really yet used to this you know, this stuff again. Full time.
Yeah,
game.
You good? That was the third preseason game. So that's going to be about it. I mean, it's only a week, 10 days. We're recording this on Monday, August 28th. So this is 10 days away from the regular season. So nobody's going to be playing in this fourth preseason game, I don't think. I mean, Bill always throws wild cards out there, but this is strictly bottom of the roster type.
If Deion Lewis plays, do you think he's getting cut?
No.
Good.
They just, because they don't have that many running backs.
Yeah,
on the to carry the full load during this preseason game. I mean, they brought in some kid LaShawn Daniels, but I haven't seen that much of him.
They also signed three linebacker / DNs today or yesterday. I don't know when officially, but
yeah, they got three edge guys. That's probably because nobody's. I mean, you're not going to put Wise back out there after he just had his injury. You're not going to put Trey Flowers out there, and there's almost nobody else. So they needed bodies to fill out this game.
I know, it's crazy. There's no DNs.
Nobody.
It makes you, you know what? Honestly, the DN thing kind of makes me, you know, think not so much Chandler Jones, but it makes me revisit the Jamie Collins. Because if you had Jamie in there, that gives you a lot more flexibility what you could do at DN.
No, it doesn't.
Yes, it does.
No, it doesn't.
Hightower. Now Van Noy.
Hightower can do it already. What is Jamie Collins
now
bring you that David Harris doesn't?
Come on.
I'm talking about in terms of flexibility at defensive end.
Oh, he's a pass rusher.
Okay.
David Harris isn't.
Yeah. From the inside.
Still, he could probably go outside. The guy was like 6'4", 260.
I know. But if you're saying Jamie would play inside.
I'm saying Jamie could play anywhere.
Yeah, I know Jamie could play anywhere.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
So if you had him... Put it this way. If you had him on the defense, would you feel a little better about it?
Yes, I would.
Yes, that's what I'm getting at.
Yeah, but he costs like $13 million a season. So I would feel better if we had
they have 15.
Anybody for 13 a year.
They have 15 in cap space.
Yeah, well, he's not on the market anymore. And it worked out pretty well last year after we dealt him.
It did. We won the Super Bowl. So, but it's not even just about Jamie. It's like we invested so much into that position over the past so many years. And have nobody right now. It's just like, well, what kind of happened there?
We got Hightower.
You got Hightower and Trey.
Oh, what position? You're talking about edge defender?
Edge defender.
What do we invest in that? We spent a first round pick on Chandler.
Mm-hmm. Trey.
Yeah, Genio Grissom. Yeah, a first round pick, a 97th overall.
Actually, they're saying Geno Grissom's looking pretty good. He didn't play last week because he was injured, but
good.
There's a chance he could play. I told you, he is a large human being, so yeah. He yep. should be able to play.
Oh, we remember. Yeah. So that the last preseason game will be on Thursday. We'll see a lot of Jacoby Brissett, which we didn't see against Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
And they kind of use this as it's for the backups. The whole thing is for the backups. So, like, Josh McDaniels won't call the plays on offense. They'll have whoever the backup is for that doing it. It used to be Brian Daboll. I'm not sure who's going to be that guy this year.
Mm-hmm.
The point is, it's not going to be the best game to watch.
No, it's always against. Why is it always against the Giants? Do we ever find that one out?
I don't know, but they. It's
does every other team always play the same team?
I wonder. It's probably a geographic proximity thing, and it's probably also NFC-AFC.
Yeah, I don't know how that works.
Yeah, me neither. But
it's been like 10 years.
The point is, the thing to look forward to is in 10 days when the Chiefs come in and Goodell comes in, and mm-hmm. we'll see what the fuck happens.
Is that one? What day of the week is that game?
It's a Thursday. How it's do you not Thursday. Know this?
Yeah, it's true.
Did you hear that there's going to be a Do Your Job Part 2 coming out?
No way.
Yes. Next week, and it's going to chronicle like the 2016 Super Bowl season.
Really?
Get the fuck out of here. How pumped are you? You're more excited for this than opening night.
Wow.
I can see it in your face.
That's sick.
Yeah. Do Your Job is an unbelievable documentary, and they're doing a second one.
That was the one they first did. Was that 09 when they first did that? Or when they first do that?
No, they did Belichick a Football Life in like 2009, 2010.
When was the last one? What was part one? For remind me? I can't remember. There's been a lot of them.
They did a Do Your Job documentary about the 2014 season.
Oh, and, right.
Like, they had Ernie Adams in his room talking about the Seahawks.
Yeah. That crazy dude.
You got to worry about 72. It's all about 72.
Yeah.
You can use his name, man.
Yeah.
You could just call him by his name. Everyone knows it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's super exciting they're doing that. Fucking that's documentaries. Sick. And I guess we could do some news around the league. We just saw it. This just came out. Matt Stafford signs an extension for evidently record money. Right after Derek Carr breaks the record, Stafford breaks it right back.
Mm-hmm.
He hasn't done that much, but he hasn't been bad. I mean, I would take Stafford over any. Seriously, I would take.
That
Stafford
great way over. To put it. The highest contract in the fucking league goes to the guy that wasn't that bad. Oh, that's phenomenal.
Do you think what the other Jets sport would do this deal? Do you
what?
Think the Jets would do this deal
if they had
if they
Stafford
had the opportunity? Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah,
it's probably not pay a him more.
Deal. It's well, you can't be in the situation where you don't have a quarterback for a decade. You can't be in that situation. And
David
Stafford's
only been in what, one playoff game?
One or two? Maybe two. He played the Cowboys in, what was that, 2014? I can't remember if he went to another
making
one.
Making sarcastic faces to Sean for all the audience that can't tell.
This is an audio podcast, James. You got to voice your opinions.
I know. Why does he have to be highest paid?
Why? Because he can.
Why? He shouldn't be able to. He's not
said he
the
can.
Best. What?
I said he can. Is Derek Carr the best? Was Drew Brees the best when he broke the record? How about Flacco when he broke it?
Flacco won a Super Bowl.
Okay. That's what about the other three I just mentioned?
Derek Carr has at least potential to be the best. He's only been in the league for 3 years, and he's been lighting it up. Stafford's got to be in what, his seventh, eighth, ninth year?
Ninth.
Ninth.
Ninth year,
ninth
yeah.
Ninth year. That's like giving Jay Cutler the biggest contract, which did, I think, happen at one point.
It might have. This is just how it works.
That's the equivalent.
The salary
stupid.
Cap goes up.
It is.
The cap goes up, and so do the contracts.
Dumb. I'd say, you know what? I'm going to give you an awesome contract, but you are not the best.
You cannot have that. You can't have an angry quarterback like that, especially a team that
angry
is,
quarterback. Oh, my God. The difference in $4 million. If you're a quarterback, you're supposed to want the best team. Team. Not you get highest paid. That's why fucking Drew Brees, nobody ever likes him.
You making noise over there?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Fidgeting with things.
Yeah, it's fine. It's fine.
It's not fine.
It's totally fine.
This is why it happens, because people like you are like, oh, it's fine. Let's just give some mediocre guy the biggest contract ever.
Well, you can't let him walk. That's the
is
thing.
He even in the top 100?
He's got 100? You by the balls. You
was
can't
he even
let
in
him
the,
walk.
Was he even in the top 100 players this year?
It doesn't matter.
It's 100 guys better than him.
If you're being really honest, about who are the most important players in the NFL, Matt Stafford is without a doubt in the top 100.
Okay.
The most important players. If you do a fantasy draft of everybody in the league and every team, you know, every player is now a free agent and every team gets to pick, Matt Stafford's going in the first round. I can guarantee you that.
I don't know about that.
Telling you, that's how important quarterbacks are. Look at teams that don't have them. They suck for like a generation. They suck. Anyway.
Look at the Texans. They made it.
Man, I just wanted to mention this and move on.
Okay. We'll move on. But the Texans made the playoffs without a quarterback last year.
In the shittiest division that's ever existed.
Well, it still made the playoffs. Anyways.
Someone has to.
Anyways, all right, what else? Let's move on. Don't get too fired up here.
God dang. So, yes, Stafford signed a big contract. What else happened? Oh, I got to eat some crow about Matt Moore's salary. I said that he was making $4 or $5 a year. Turns out he's been making an average of just over $2 million a year with the Dolphins. So, a pretty good contract for them. Chad Henne, however, has been making crazy dough. He's been making over $4 million. This season, he's making only like $2.5 or $3 million. But over the last 2 or 3 years, he's been making $4 million.
Is he getting the start? Is that official?
He got the start in the third preseason game.
But they are going with Bortles. Was that what happened?
They haven't said.
They haven't said, okay.
They haven't said. But Bortles had more passes in their preseason game, the most recent one, and actually did okay. They're both bad options.
Yeah.
And for the Jaguars, they did pick up the fifth-year option on Blake Bortles' contract, and that is not guaranteed. It's only guaranteed if he gets fucked up, if he gets injured.
Mm-hmm.
So you're kind of in this weird in-between position where you're like, well, I don't want to take the chance of guaranteeing that $20 million contract if he gets injured, but also we want to know if he's any good.
Right.
I mean, we think he sucks. We know Chad Henne sucks.
Yeah.
So maybe there's a glimmer of hope if we play Bortles. Yeah, they're in a weird position.
Just a quick update. Just came across the wire that Matthew Stafford has an average of $27 million a year.
Wow. Good money. Dang.
$27 million.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We all know my view on that. We'll keep it chugging along. What's the what else we got?
Well, I did want to talk about the Jaguars a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So
okay.
This quarterback situation, I think they should sign Kaepernick.
The con guy, their owner said he's all for it.
He's in?
He said yeah, if it's the right football decision. I believe so.
Oh, I thought he said the opposite. Oh, that's good.
I could be wrong. You thought he said the opposite?
I heard it from a secondhand source. I didn't see that.
I only read the headline, and I think Sadiq Khan would sign, is all for signing Kaepernick.
Because
I feel like if it was he wouldn't sign Kaepernick, it would be all over social media. Oh, this friggin' guy who's, you know, why won't he sign him? Blah, blah, blah. Like the whole Baltimore Ravens thing. Remember how that was kind of news?
Yeah.
For some reason.
That slime ball, Bonaconte. Shad Khan would absolutely support signing Colin Kaepernick.
Boom.
Wow, that would be huge. I think that'd be great. Don't you think Colin Kaepernick, whatever he used to be and is now on the field, what he is now is still better than Blake Bortles?
I don't know about that. Is that true?
I'm willing to encourage the Jaguars to sign him and find out.
I mean, I'm surprised Kaepernick hasn't been picked up by like somebody that has no quarterback.
This team has no quarterback.
I mean, Bortles has played well.
No, he hasn't.
Yeah, he has. He's had, like, decent games. And
Decent
games. He's had, like, an average season. I mean, there's way worse than him.
There is worse than him, but Kaepernick's better than him, I think.
Didn't Kaepernick suck last year?
Can you name two people on that Niners offense besides Kaepernick and Blaine Gabbert?
Carlos Hyde.
Yeah, I said two people.
Okay, there's one. They still have Torrey Smith?
No, he's gone. He was injured.
Joe Staley, he retired.
I thought Joe Staley was still there. Anyway, that's the point.
Maybe that's two.
There's no talent out there. There's no talent. You look at the Jaguars' offense. They got T.J. Yeldon, Leonard Fournette, Chris Ivory. On the outside, they got Allen Robinson, Allen Hurns, Marquise Lee. They got Mercedes Lewis. They are loaded. Their offensive line is
They still have iffy. Mercedes Lewis? Where has that guy been?
He's ancient, but he still plays, and he plays okay.
Really?
He's a size tight end. He's not a speed tight end.
Yeah, he's enormous, isn't he?
Size ages well, as long as you don't get hurt.
All right, Colin Kaepernick. Yeah. All right. I mean, I figure like someone like the Jets or somebody like with nothing going for him. Like, who's the Bears quarterback?
The Jets are tanking. The Bears quarterback is Mike Glennon or Mitchell Trubisky. Makes no sense for them.
Oh, because they paid...
They're paying Glennon 15 and they spent the second pick on Trubisky.
They paid Glennon a lot.
No reason to complicate that.
Right.
The Jaguars are the right home for Kaepernick. They're the right one.
Okay.
I'm not
disagreeing. I mean, I'm not disagreeing with you. I thought Kaepernick just sucked, so...
I think he's better than Bortles. Bortles turns
what
it over,
happened,
and so does Chad Henne.
What happened, it was in his third year. So he went to the Super Bowl in his second year. He played good his first year. Second year he went to the Super Bowl, and then
first
what
year didn't play.
First year didn't even play?
No.
I thought he went in a little bit.
No, he sat on the bench behind Alex Smith, and then halfway through his second season in 2012, he replaced Alex Smith. I think Alex Smith might have been hurt, or they just made the move. And then Kaepernick went all the way to the Super Bowl that year.
And then?
And then he was very good the following year as well, and then just went in the tank.
He got hurt.
Did he get hurt?
I think he got hurt. He lost tons of weight. I remember
he went
that.
Vegan.
You sure?
He either went vegetarian or he went vegan. I'm not sure which. Now, that doesn't mean that you can't perform at a high level that way.
Actually, they say look at Brady's basically vegan.
No, he's not.
He's vegetarian. He's almost a vegetarian. Is he a vegetarian?
I don't think so.
I don't think he eats meat.
I think he does eat meat.
You sure?
I'm pretty fucking positive he eats meat.
Hmm.
He's not a vegan. He eats eggs. That's
eggs,
not vegan.
Right, so that's not vegan. But I didn't... Well, if he eats meat, it's not a lot.
Maybe it's balanced, but whatever you want to say about it. What I was saying is that Kaepernick changed his diet. He might have changed some other routines, I'm not sure. But his play went right in the tank.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Maybe that coincided with that team losing some talent. I don't know. He's not the same player it looked like he was going to be.
Yeah. Everyone thought he was going to be.
He's bad. It doesn't mean he's as bad as Chad Henne or Blake Bortles.
Sure. Sign him. Let's see what he can do.
I say sign him. And this ties into a larger point I wanted to make about the Jaguars. I just mentioned how much talent they have on offense. Defensively, I mean, you're talking about Dante Fowler. Now they got Calais Campbell, Malik Jackson, Miles Jack, one of my favorite players in recent memory, Jalen Ramsey. They just signed A.J. Boye. They got
Jalen Ramsey. Well, I forgot about him. Yeah.
Jalen Ramsey is a star.
He was a first-round pick last year, right?
Yeah, he's a top. Maybe he was fifth or seventh last
year. He was up there. Yeah, he was up there.
He's a star. And they got loads of talent. And I just want to say, I've said in the past that I'm a fan of the Jaguars. That is an incorrect statement. I am not a fan of the Jaguars. I'm a fan of the players that wind up on the Jaguars because they get high picks.
Yeah.
But I am distinctly a non-fan of this franchise. Because they grab this talent and then they just let them rot.
They flush them down. They're like the Raiders of the mid-2000s.
I guess.
The Raiders had got all kinds of talent and they just never did anything.
Well, the thing is, you never get to see them.
You never get
to
see them.
You never see them play. You see them play one Thursday in the fall when they go up against the Titans.
Yeah.
And for some reason, I don't have the same feeling against the Titans, even though they've been basically equally bad over the last 8 years. But
Titans got some talent now, though.
Now they do. Well, I mean, the Jaguars have talent, but the Titans are actually a good team.
Dude, it's so funny that if the coaches on those teams figure that shit out, that could be a really strong division, and it's great because the Colts have done nothing but shoot themselves in the foot repeatedly.
Mm-hmm.
So if all these teams finally, one of them becomes good, then the Colts have really no chance, and I'd love that.
You can make an argument they really don't have a chance right now.
They probably don't. I mean, they don't even sell anybody if Luck is going to start. Do you see that?
Well, he hasn't even played yet. He's been injured.
They've been asking him, Pagano, if he's going to play week one, and Pagano basically said today, he's like, I can't just give you statistics, because what do you want me to do? It's like, that doesn't sound good.
It's up to the doctors.
Yeah. It doesn't sound good.
Well, the Colts... The thing is, the Colts cannot play power football, and that's all the Titans do. The Titans play power football, and they're just going to beat you up, and they're going to beat them up twice. And then the Texans do a very similar thing, at least defensively, and that's just dangerous.
Hell of a defense.
For Luck to
hell of
put
a defense
that pass rush thing. Against the Colts' non-existent offensive line.
Still, Andrew after Luck all these the fucking ball. Years.
Yeah, I still haven't figured it out. And then, well, the thing is, if the Texans figure out the quarterback position, and that division is a wrap, basically.
Yeah.
If they figure out the quarterback position.
If Deshaun Watson can play, done.
Yeah.
And they're not starting him. They're starting, what's his name? TJ?
Tom Savage. I don't think they should start Watson.
I don't think so. I think
he needs time.
Give him a little grace period.
Yeah. But anyway,
yeah, I just wanted to make that point about the Jaguars, that they are ruining careers of highly promising players.
There's so many of them now, they got to figure it out at some point.
I don't know.
I mean, that is a collection of talent. Not that much.
This has been going on since David Garrard was there.
It has been going on for a long time, but I can't remember the last time they had this much young talent. They have like 10 top guys under 25 right now. Maybe not that many, but a lot of them.
They got loads of talent, and they have for a while. I mean, remember Justin Blackmon before he went crazy?
That's because he went crazy.
Yeah.
He would still be on the team.
But even like Eugene Monroe had a nondescript NFL career.
Yeah.
He was a good player.
He was a great prospect.
When he went to the Ravens, he performed very well. That was the first time people actually noticed him. He was probably playing very well in Jacksonville, and it just went over everyone's head.
Yeah, that's a good point.
If you play a position that doesn't rack up stats, like Allen Robinson, everyone goes, oh, he had like 15 touchdowns.
And Hearns, too.
That. Yeah, because he got stats.
Mm-hmm.
But if you play a position that doesn't have stats like that, nobody knows. Tyson Alualu was a very good player for a while there.
Was he?
Nobody. Yeah, he was good.
Where's he now?
I don't know. He got old. This was a while ago.
Tyson Alualu, wasn't he drafting like, he wasn't drafting that long ago.
It was in like 09? Oh, 2010?
2010, 2011, I was going to say.
He was drastically overdrafted, but whatever. It was 2010, actually, when I think about it. They should sign Kaepernick. Oh, he's going to be a distraction. A distraction from what? No one paying attention?
Everyone asleep behind the driver's wheel here with a bus full of talent.
For real. Reggie Ragland got traded. You see that?
Yeah, Buffalo again, making moves. That GM is basically just dishing everybody he doesn't want.
He's cleaning house.
I don't know if that usually works, though. When was the last time cleaning house really worked? Belichick didn't do it when he got here.
Did he? He brought in a ton of veteran guys.
He brought in a ton of veteran guys, but like he kept the core, like a lot of the core there.
Like who?
But that's, I don't know. Willie.
You don't even know. Willie.
Willie McGinnis, Brewski, Troy Brown.
There. Ted Johnson.
You know?
That's Ty
Law. But he was also here before that, so he probably knew a bunch of those guys.
Yeah. Well, the Bills and the Jets just. The thing about the way the Bills have been doing
they repeatedly do it.
Well, the Bills are getting rid of people in their prime.
Yeah.
I mean, they're getting people
guys they drafted within the past couple years.
Sammy Watkins, Ronald Darby are entering their prime right now.
And what's
they just
his name?
Got rid of those guys.
Reggie Ragland, he just got hurt. He was just hurt last year.
Reggie Ragland never played a single game for the Bills.
Yeah. He just got hurt and they traded him.
He tore his ACL out for the year. This year, they say he doesn't look as fast. This is the issue with ACLs. As great as the recoveries seem to be now, I mean, for every Adrian Peterson you see, I mean, you could put Tom Brady on that list to some extent. Wes Welker was great coming back from it.
He was.
There are still some hiccups, and it all depends on the injury. I mean, we still haven't seen Teddy Bridgewater.
I was just wondering about him the other day.
Reggie Ragland, they said he lost a step. What were you going to say about Bridgewater?
Bridgewater, have we heard anything about his playing status?
A lick about him. Nothing. I thought last year when they traded for Bradford that it was going to be a one-year thing, and that's why I thought it was so stupid.
Yeah, me too. We had a lot of arguments about that.
Yeah, but if it turns out that Bridgewater's, I mean, if that's it.
Then it looks a little better.
It doesn't look so bad.
And, I mean, yeah, Bridgewater, we haven't heard anything.
Yeah, that seems like what might have happened to Reggie Ragland. He tore his ACL and he just lost. He was already limited athletically.
Yeah.
And if he just loses a little bit more, then you're talking about Brandon Spikes out there. And that doesn't do well in the modern NFL. So they traded their second round pick from last year for a conditional fourth rounder this year. There that goes.
Mm-hmm. Not bad. We'll see. I don't know. I mean, they have no chance. The Bills have no chance this year. I don't give them a chance. Tyrod Taylor left with concussion whenever that game was.
Did he? Oh, yeah. Man.
Like, falling apart at the seams here. Busted. So, that's good. I'll take it.
I suppose. Yeah. What do you... Do you see that the Ravens have 10 guys on IR already?
I saw that. C.J. Mosley tore his ACL.
What? No, he didn't.
Wasn't it him? Oh, no. I'm sorry. It was their other inside back.
You can't just say shit like that.
It's a similar name. It starts with a C and M.
His name's McClellan.
McClellan. That's who it is.
That's not even close to C.J. Mosley.
I'm sorry. Well, you know, I don't know. Got confused.
He's a special teamer.
No, he played. He started.
He's a special teamer.
Started 11 games last year.
At what, kickoff?
At middle linebacker.
Oh, I'm just being an ass.
But that's and Flacco hasn't even seen the field yet. He's still hurting with something.
Oh, what? He tore his ACL last year.
Was that what it was?
I thought he did. Or his MCL? I don't know, but they shut him down
something early. Yeah, something happened to him.
But he played against us, and that was in December. So it happened pretty late in the season.
So he still hasn't seen shit, and they've lost that many players. It doesn't look good.
Oh, I thought they were going to be a real contender this year.
Nope. You never know.
The defense is still real good. I mean, they haven't lost their top-notch defenders yet.
Yeah, but you got to think at some point, so how long is Suggs' play going to continue being elite?
He's probably not elite right now, but he's definitely effective.
Yeah. Yeah.
The Bengals. I don't know. I don't know. I don't know where the threats are coming from.
Oakland.
Yeah.
Kind of it. Pittsburgh. Yeah,
Pittsburgh.
But also,
Martavis Bryant's back.
The thing about Pitt, is he? Is he really back?
Oh, wow. He's back. Yeah. He just accused a guy trying to hurt him the other day.
Really?
Yeah.
What do you mean? In like what context?
Like there was a tackle.
And
he went down and he was getting back up and the guy hit him.
Okay.
It was like a little bit of a late hit and he thought it was dirty.
The thing about the catch with the Pittsburgh, I feel like, is that what is Big Ben going to be like? Because he was really thinking about retiring this year. So pretty much because of health issues. And the guy gets hurt every goddamn year.
Every year.
So it's like if he was worried about maybe retiring this year, maybe not, and now he's going to go out there and he has an injury history. Not that you want the guy to get injured, but I can see them tearing it up for 6 weeks and then, oh, there goes Big Ben.
Well, he will be limping at the end of the season.
Yeah.
We know it.
Yeah. If he makes it that far.
Yeah. They're a threat. They're a definite threat. That is one of the few teams that can score with us.
We did beat the shit out of them in the playoffs, though, didn't we?
Yeah.
Have they gotten that much better this year? They got Martavius Bryant.
That's about it.
That's all I know.
Yeah. Did Le'Veon showed up, right?
Le'Veon's, yeah. He's going to report.
He was like, I'll be there next Friday.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm not doing this training camp nonsense.
What is he doing? Is that over a contract dispute?
Yeah, it's his last year in his contract. He was holding out. He wants an extension. Give him the money. He's the best running back in the NFL.
I know. But he really is. He's the most dangerous.
It's probably a toss-up between him and David Johnson with Ezekiel Elliott maybe mixed in there.
Yeah.
But if I was starting a team, I would choose Le'Veon Bell.
I would too.
I think he does more with he makes your offensive line look better than it is with his style.
Yeah. I think he's a good player. They'd have him. We really didn't face him in the playoffs last year. He was out after like the first quarter.
Exactly. There you go. You got that one back.
I don't know. I'm trying to think
Chiefs,
of the other.
What about? Let's talk about the first opponent. We'll do a more extensive preview podcast before that game comes next week.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about final cuts and everything. But the Chiefs, they're going with Alex Smith. They got Patrick Mahomes on the bench now. They're already planning long term. They spent the number 10 pick on a quarterback.
That's probably not going to play for the next
two years. 2 years.
Unless they want to get rid of Alex Smith.
They will. I mean, they will get rid of him.
Maybe it's not 2 years. Or maybe he Brett Favre's it. Who knows? Just like keeps doing well, better than the other guy for fucking 3 or 4 years.
Or Drew Brees is it.
Mm-hmm.
People continually forget that Drew Brees was a Charger.
Yeah.
He got crushed. I was just revisiting the trade that the Chargers, we think of the Chargers as an inept organization. They got the number one overall pick, traded back to 5, got LaDainian Tomlinson, Andrew Brees. They gave up Michael Vick to draft 2 Hall of Famers.
That is crazy.
That's what they did.
Well, too bad management from back then is still not there today.
Well, it unfortunately turns out that Drew Brees sucked his first 3 years.
Yeah, and they traded him.
Did they trade him? No. But he sucked for his first 3 years, and what they did was they got the number one overall pick again.
You're right.
Traded back to get, or they drafted Eli, and they traded him for Phillip Rivers.
Right.
And then, in 2004, Drew Brees was all of a sudden good. They go 12-4 and make the playoffs.
Did they cut him, and he went to New Orleans?
Would you wait for the end of this story?
Oh, I didn't know it was still going. Okay.
It's still going.
Okay.
He sucked. They had to use another top 5 pick on a quarterback, or they had to use a top 5 pick on a quarterback. And then all of a sudden he's good as soon as he gets his competition. 12-4, make the playoffs. 2005, they make the playoffs again. And then the Chargers are sitting there going, man, we paid a lot of money and sunk a lot of draft capital into Phillip Rivers. I guess we'll let Drew Brees walk because his rookie contract just went up.
And then he becomes.
And he just got injured in that playoff game. Remember his like right shoulder?
He couldn't put it down.
Mm-hmm.
That was 05?
That was 05.
Oh, wow. I thought that was earlier than that.
And he takes a visit with the Dolphins and he takes a visit with the Saints.
Yeah.
He goes to New Orleans with Sean Payton and the Dolphins pick up Dante Culpepper. Yikes. So he goes to New Orleans with Sean Payton and they go 13-3.
And the rest is history.
Yeah.
Ends up winning the Super Bowl.
The same season that LaDainian Tomlinson wins the MVP. Hmm. How about that?
Well.
So that was a nice little story time
here
on the Patriot
Podcast. That was a hell of a tangent there.
It's a great story. I can't believe it happened.
I know. That is nuts. The Chiefs, though. What were we gonna,
the Chiefs. Oh, I was thinking that, yeah.
Quarterback
situation.
What if
Alex Smith pulls a Drew Brees and is all of a sudden really, really good? It won't happen.
Probably not.
But Patrick Mahomes will be there in a couple of years. This Chiefs team, they're the ones that traded for Reggie Ragland because they want somebody next to Derek Johnson. Derek Johnson's 35 coming off an Achilles.
Yeah.
We saw what happened to their defense when he got hurt last year. I mean, their defense could have a real hole in the middle of it.
Especially the other guys are old. I feel like Houston.
Tom Ali is old.
Tom Ali.
He gets banged up.
He gets banged up. I mean, those were the cornerstones of that D.
They got a great secondary.
Eckert, Eric Berry starts with him, ends with him. He is, I'd say, probably the best safety in the league.
We'll see how Earl Thomas looks coming off his injury.
Yeah, I don't know. I think
he's held
I
that
think
crown.
Barry
for a
get,
bit.
Takes the cake for me.
Two guys in the same draft.
Yeah.
And Devin McCourty was in that draft too.
Really?
Yeah, all three of them.
That is.
But Dev was
ridiculous.
A corner.
That's unbelievable.
And don't forget about Marcus Peters on the outside also.
Yeah.
D Ford has really come on. Where'd Don Terry Poe wind up? He's somewhere. Don Terry Poe split.
Yeah.
I believe. He's on the Falcons. Wow, the Falcons picked up a big fatty in the middle. Good for them.
That's pretty good. It's a good signing for them. I don't know who their D tackles or D linemen are besides Tamba Ali in Houston.
Oh, those guys are on the edge. Yeah, I mean, we went over. Jay Howard was a good player. I can't think of it. But Spencer Ware just got injured on offense. Jamal Charles is no longer there.
Yep.
They're pretty weak at running back. And on the outside.
Offensively in general.
Seriously. On the outside, they cut Jeremy Maclin, so they are left with Tyreek Hill, and that's about it.
Yeah.
I mean, you're counting on Chris Conley, Albert Wilson. I mean, who the heck else is on the outside?
Anthony
Thomas they have? Travis Kelce. Shit.
Travis there you go.
The second best tight end in the league.
But still, even when we I feel like we covered him up pretty well when we played him last year.
That's your boy, Patty Chung.
Mm-hmm.
Patrick Chung.
There you go. Another reason to keep him. He's the tight end killer.
Exactly. He's a tight end lockdown machine.
At least for 12 out of 16 weeks, you know.
Gavin Escobar. Oh, they picked him up from Dallas.
Well,
yeah, it's not that scary a team. I don't see these guys as a threat.
Especially as the first game, even if like they pull all the pieces together, first game of the year, like it's never a really well put together picture in the first game. People
from
fall
either.
Apart. What?
Usually it's a pretty sloppy game on both sides.
That's what I mean. Yeah, it's like. So, especially with them, the lack of talent on offense, that's going to be an ugly offense to watch that week one.
Yeah, could be. Definitely could be. And they're just going to try to force the ball into Tyreek Hill's hands.
Literally.
Bill's just going to...
Shut him down.
He's going to figure out something. So, yeah, AFC wide open for the Patriots. No wonder why it's a 32% chance. God dang.
There you go.
Is there anything you wanted to cover this week?
I think we got it.
All right.
I'm good.
Our thoughts go out to Edelman. Hopefully it's a successful surgery and recovery.
Speedy recovery.
And this is a great opportunity for somebody to seize the reins of this offense.
Mm-hmm.
I'm looking at you, Brandon Cooks.
Absolutely. I'm telling you, he's going to get opened. They're going to let him go in friggin' week one, and it's going to be awesome. Two TDs.
I would like that very much.
Two
okay,
TDs.
Thank you guys for listening. You heard the prediction here, two TDs.
Yep.
Thanks for tuning in. We'll be back next week to talk about final cuts, last preseason game, and preview the start of the season, what's finally here.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Talk to you guys.
Adios.